Whereas last week it was a calling. It was a calling where he was inviting these people to become his disciples and to follow him. Now it becomes a mission. He gives them something to do. He gives them a purpose. He says to them, follow me and I will make you fish for people. You've been pulling up fish out of the Sea of Galilee. Now you're going to be pulling people out of their sin and their despair and into the light of the good news.
This is season 8 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. God's holy word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's word right now.
Now hear the proclamation. Our Old Testament lesson is from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then verse 10. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us this day. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. Verse 10. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now let us hear the word of the Lord for us from the Gospel according to St. Mark. This is Mark chapter 1 and beginning of verse 14. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We are continuing in our series called God with Us. Our theme verse, if you will, for the next 5 weeks through the beginning of Lent or into the beginning of Lent, our theme verse is Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, which states, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a Hebrew word which means God with us. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is God with us. And so throughout this series, we're going to be looking at how God interacts with his people through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, last week, we looked at the calling of Andrew and Simon Peter and Philip's evangelism of Nathanael. This week, we're going to look at what it means to obey the mission that God gives to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our ears to hear your calling through your holy word this day. Grant us wisdom and knowledge through your Holy Spirit that we may go forth and fulfill all that you call us to do and to be. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I talked to you about what it means to be called. And do you remember where you were when you were called by God, when God called you? And I gave you my testimony and told you a little bit about my calling. This week, I want to talk to you about something else, because immediately after God called me, Immediately, I started to get involved in the ministries of the church there in Pittman. Because I feel like once God calls you, He doesn't just leave you alone. You know, once you have committed your life to Christ, you no longer belong to yourself. You are bought with a price. And so God begins to use you in mighty and majestic ways. God begins to use you in ways that can further the building of His kingdom here on earth. He gives us a mission. And so in the very beginning, when I first started to go to church, I quickly got involved in many of the ministries. I was involved in the men's ministry there, the United Methodist Men. I was involved very quickly on with the Evangelism Committee. I became a member of the Evangelism Committee, but then I also later on became the chairperson of the Evangelism Committee. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the Evangelism Committee because, you know, we in the Methodist Church, we can committee things to death. I know we can. And I don't see eye to eye on a lot of things that the author Ayn Rand wrote because she was a socialist or an anti-socialist, I should say. She was an objectivist and she was also an atheist. But all that aside, she had one statement that she made that I agree with 110%, and that is this: a camel is a horse put together by a committee. So I'm not a big fan of committees. So when I was invited to join the Evangelism Committee at Pittman, I thought, my goodness, these Methodists, man, they make committees for everything, don't they? You know? But what the Evangelism Committee is meant to do is to give opportunities to the church for evangelism. The Evangelism Committee is not made to do the evangelism of the church, although the members do participate in the evangelism of the church. It's to give the church opportunities by which the church can evangelize the community. And so this is what we do. One of the very first things that we got involved with, especially when I became the chairperson, was an event called Harvest America. Now, Harvest America was, it grew out of Greg Laurie's Harvest Crusades. And he would go all around the country and he would preach the gospel message in huge stadiums. And thousands of people would come and they would give their lives to Christ. And which is a great thing, but it was weighty. There was a lot of overhead. You had to rent space in these stadiums. You had to print your tickets. You had to get out all the advertising and everything else. And so they came up with a new model in 2012. They called it Harvest America, and Harvest America was a single evangelistic event that happened in Angel Stadium in Los Angeles, but it was simulcast, broadcast to various churches and host sites, including people's homes. And so we became a host site. Pittman became a host site. And we were broadcasting both in our sanctuary and in our fellowship hall. We were broadcasting the live event in the sanctuary, and a recorded event in the fellowship hall. It was really a fantastic venture, and it took an awful lot. We worked hand in hand with the people from Harvest America. Pastor Brett, get to the point. Okay, so well, anyway, I have this mug here, which reminds me of that event, because this is a mug that I received for my efforts for doing the evangelism. The point is this: 181 people from the community came to this Harvest America event in the Pittman Church, and 15 people that night gave their lives to Christ. And you're probably saying to yourself, 15 people doesn't sound like a whole lot. Well, when you add that to all the people who gave their lives to Christ on that weekend, it turned out to be an enormous number. Thousands, tens of thousands of people were giving their lives to Christ all over the country and all around the world. And Harvest America today continues to bring the message of the gospel to people. It's part of the mission of the church, okay? And that's what we are called to do. We are called to go out and to reach people for Christ. And today we're going to look at how we can do that, and specifically why Jesus called the people that he did. So first, let's look at the context of this passage today. Well, this is verse 14 in chapter 1 of Mark's gospel. So it happens very early on in Mark's gospel. All three synoptic gospels present the ministry of the beginning part of the ministry of Jesus in the same way. And that is, number one, Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. Number two, he goes into the wilderness and he fasts and he is tempted by Satan. Number three, then John is arrested. And number four, Jesus begins to proclaim the good news. Now we see that same pattern in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark's gospel starts right there, whereas Matthew and Luke also include the story of the birth narrative of Jesus. So this puts a time frame on Jesus' proclamation. Here it says, verse 14, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.'" Now, again, this puts a time frame on Jesus' proclamation. When did Jesus begin to proclaim the good news? After John was arrested, and he went to Galilee. He went back to his home region. Remember that Nazareth is a city in Galilee. And so he goes to that region, which he's very familiar with because he grew up in that region, and he starts proclaiming the good news all around. He's walking around and he's proclaiming. Just like we read in Jonah today, Jonah walks into Nineveh and he starts proclaiming 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know, when a prophet receives a word from God, what they do is they proclaim that word exactly as it is. Now, this is interesting because Jesus's first sermon, as it were, is this. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Believe in the good news. Repent. That's his message. The core of Jesus' message is repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn back to God. Return to God and believe in the good news. That's what he says. Now, it's very similar to the message that John the Baptist was preaching in Judea. Now, Mark doesn't record John preaching this message, but both Matthew and Luke do. In Matthew chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, notice there's a difference between those two, because Jesus is saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. So his message is a more refined or more fulfilled version, if you will, of John's message. Okay, that sets us up a little bit. But now he's in the region of Galilee. And remember what I told you last week about Galilee. Galilee kind of looks like a left foot. If you're looking down on your left foot, Capernaum is the big toe. And then you've got the cities of Gennesaret and Magdala. And there you have Nazareth is off to the west. Nazareth is not the fishing community that those other three cities are, but Capernaum especially is the big fishing city. And we know that this is where Andrew and Simon and James and John were all from, because we read that last week in John's gospel. Now, verse 16 and 17. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." So here we see the calling of the disciples. Now, notice this story is different than what we read last week. Last week we read that Jesus went into the region of Galilee and said to Philip, especially, follow me. Follow me. Okay? And then Philip went and found Nathanael, and Nathanael came to Jesus, and Jesus talked to him, and Nathanael became one of the disciples as well. He had already called Andrew, and then Andrew went and got Simon Philip and brought Simon Philip to Jesus, and Jesus gave Simon a different name. He gave him the name Cephas, which means rock. In Greek, the word is Petros. So he renamed him. He gave him a new name and a new identity. Why is this account so different than the account we read in John? Well, because they are two completely different callings. And I'm going to demonstrate that for you, okay? The word is follow, okay? He says in Mark's gospel, it reads like this. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. Remember last week, we read in John chapter 1 and verse 43 that Jesus went to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, to you and me, it sounds like the same sentence, right? Follow me. And then he says to Andrew and Simon, follow me and I will make you fish for people. What's the difference? There's a big difference, actually, because they're two completely different Greek words. I actually had to look this up because I was curious about this myself. And the word that he used in the case of Philip, I'm not going to say the actual Greek word, but it's a Greek word when it says follow me, or when he says follow me, what he's saying is come and be my disciple. Come and be my disciple. Follow me. Learn from me. Be my student. That's what he was saying to Philip at that time. Now he's saying, follow me, but the Greek word is simply come. Come with me. Come with me. Follow me, like physically follow me. Whereas to Philip, he was saying, be my disciple. Now he was saying to Andrew and Simon, hey, guys, come on over here. Follow me. If you follow me, I will make you fish for people. It's an interesting phrase that he uses there, fishing for people, or as we, most of us have probably remember this verse from the King James, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, right? Fishers of men. Basically what he's saying is you're going, just like you are fishing and you're pulling up fish out of the sea, you're going to be pulling people out of their sin and into the light of the good news. And that's what he called his disciples to do. Because whereas last week it was a calling, where he was inviting these people to become his disciples and to follow him, now it becomes a mission. He gives them something to do. He gives them a purpose. He says to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. You've been pulling up fish out of the Sea of Galilee. Now you're going to be pulling people out of their sin and their despair and into the light of the good news. So that's the main difference between those two. All right, so verse 18 says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now the word immediately implies that there was no hesitation. There's no packing up. There's no setting things in order. They left everything. They were casting nets into the sea. For all we know, they threw the nets into the sea, and when Jesus called them, they just turned around and left the nets in the sea, and everything, they just left everything and followed Jesus. They left everything behind, and without hesitation. You know, we read about how Abraham was so obedient to God when God told him to leave Haran and go into the land, the promised land, the land of Canaan, that God would give to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And Abraham just packed up his family and left. Here he was very well established in his own home, very comfortable, and God called him out of his comfort zone and into a new reality. And that's what he's doing with Andrew and Simon Peter here. Okay, so immediately they left their nets. They left their livelihood. They left any chance of anything that they could have done or what they were used to doing, they left it all behind. You know, in the same way, when God called me into ministry, I had to make a choice and I had to leave my career in IT, which I had worked in IT for 19 years, very well established and could pretty much write my ticket anywhere I wanted to go. But instead, I had to leave that and come here to be your pastor. Now, I don't regret that, not even for a second, because it has given me an opportunity to fulfill the mission that God has given to me. And so that's what they're doing. They're fulfilling the mission that God is giving to them. All right, then it says in verse 19, as he went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were mending their boats, mending their nets. Now notice that Andrew and Simon are brothers. James and John are brothers. And they, but there's a difference because James and John are still working with their father, Zebedee, which means they probably are a little bit younger, a little less established. But we also know that they're fairly affluent because it says, immediately he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. So they had hired men as well. I mean, this is a very large fishing venture. And again, just as Andrew and Simon did, they left everything. They left it all behind and they followed Jesus. Why? Because they knew that Jesus had something better for them. Fishing is a great venture. You know, don't get me wrong. Hard work. I mean, I'm a truck driver at night, okay? I understand the value of hard work. And I value what I do, okay? Because I deliver goods that people want, all right? But there's something better in following the mission of God because we are building something eternal, which is the kingdom of God. And we are inviting people out of their sin into an eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that is something way better than anything we can do here on earth. Now, our vocation on earth is very important because it is through those things that we can proclaim the good news. The other day I had a long conversation with one of my coworkers about the gospel and presented the gospel to him in a way that he'd maybe never heard before. And we had a very civil discussion. It was very nice. And, you know, he didn't slap me or anything like that. I mean, I don't know. We get so hung up on, well, I don't know if I can say the right words, or I don't know if I know enough. It doesn't matter. We bring people to Christ, just like Philip did last week with Nathaniel. He said, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Jesus reveals himself. And so all I could do is pray that the seeds that I sowed in the heart of that young man that I was sharing the gospel with at work will take root. God brings forth the increase. All right, so now let's get back to this. Why did Jesus call fishermen? And I think there's a very particular reason why. Because the word that he used, he said, follow me and you will fish for people. I will make you fish for people. They understood fishing. They understood what it takes to fish. And think about what these two were doing. First of all, Andrew and Simon were casting their nets. When Jesus walked up on them, they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. When I was in Mexico back in 2011, we went down to the Gulf of Mexico, and our host brought with him a large net. I had never seen anybody fish like this in person. I've seen it on like Discovery Channel or something like that, but I've never seen anybody do this. He had this large net that he draped over his arm, and he kept a piece of it in his mouth, and he would cast it into the sea, and it was amazing to see because this net that was gathered up on his arm when he threw it out would create this huge circle net, and it would fall into the ocean, and he would quickly pull it in and gather any fish. Now, he did this over and over and over. He did it for like hours. He was throwing this net into the sea. Now, how many fish do you think he caught? I could tell you, I counted them. It was one. He caught one fish in all that time, but he never stopped casting the net. And that is the point. We have to keep casting the net. And even if we only catch one person in our net and bring them to the gospel of Jesus Christ, my goodness, what an amazing thing that is. We are told in the Bible that for every sinner who repents, there is a celebration in heaven. Don't we want to be a part of that celebration? If we could bring just one person to Christ, we can celebrate with the angels in heaven. There is a party in heaven when someone repents of their sin and turns again to God through Jesus Christ. So, fishing involves casting. Casting. You have to cast that net. You have to just keep throwing it out there. Listen, there's going to be times when you're going to cast that net and pull it back and there's nothing in there. But an old boot and maybe somebody's old license plate or something like that, or a stick or some mud. And just keep throwing it out there. Just keep casting that net. You have to keep casting the net because that's how we catch fish. If the net lays on the shore, if we never cast the net, I guarantee you we will never catch any fish. But if you just keep casting that net, throwing it into the sea, eventually you're going to catch maybe one fish, maybe two, maybe 10. Who knows? Like I said, when we had our Harvest America in 2012, we caught 15, and all 15 of them are still involved in the ministries of that church today. Today, we're talking about 8 years ago. So God gives us the increase. We just keep casting the net and give him the glory. Give him the glory. So number one, we have to cast our nets. But number two, fishing also requires mending the nets. What were James and John doing when Jesus came upon them? He saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. See, because after you've caught fish, you have to go and you have to mend your nets. Now, what am I talking about mending my nets? Okay, we mend our nets figuratively by attending worship, by receiving the Spirit regularly, by spending time in God's Word, by spending time in prayer. If our nets are holy, I don't mean holy like holy God, I mean holy, full of holes, you know? Well, I guess nets all have holes, don't they? But I mean, if they get torn, and the fish can just swim right on through, okay? We have to keep mending our nets. So there is a time to cast and there is a time to mend. After we've been spending ourselves, pouring out our spirit, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to mend our nets. And we do that by receiving God's Spirit. We attend worship. We receive the Spirit regularly. We spend time in God's Word. We read the Bible. This is God's love letter to us. Don't we want to open this up every single day and see what God has to say to us? And we spend time in prayer. It's our direct line with God to speak directly to the person, the God of the universe who created all things by a command. What an amazing thing that is, that we have that direct connection to the God of the universe. So, Jesus calls all of us into mission. And what is our mission? Now, we get our mission from the great commission, which we find at the end of Matthew's gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus, just before he ascended into heaven, said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore." Go. Listen to what he says. He says, go, not sit, not stand around and wait, but go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, he says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, in the Methodist Church, we have taken Jesus' commission and made it into a mission statement. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And Jesus called these first men into discipleship, and then he gave them a mission to fish for people. Our mission is to catch people in the net of the gospel. The good news is our net, and we must cast it into the water of the mission field if we're going to catch people. The net does no good lying on the shore, folded up and put away. We must cast it out again and again. We may cast our entire lives and only catch one little fish, one person in our nets. That is one soul saved from eternity in hell. I'll take it. Because God's word tells us that for every sinner who repents and follows Jesus, there is a celebration in heaven. So today, I'm inviting us all as a church to cast our nets and take part in that celebration. Let us pray. Almighty God, what an incredible mission you have called us to, and what an honor and a privilege it is to serve alongside of great disciples like Andrew and Simon Peter and James and John, who left everything behind in order to follow this mission. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to mend our nets, to stay in contact with you, to stay in your word, to pray daily, to spend time in worship, to listen to worship songs and be spirit-filled, be filled with the Spirit. We pray also, Lord, that you would give us the courage to cast our nets out time and time again. We don't know if we're going to catch anything, but if we catch even just one, Lord, what an awesome celebration that is in heaven. And so we pray, Lord, for your providence, that you will teach us to cast our nets, where to cast our nets. You know, we read in the Bible that there was a time when Peter had been fishing all night long. And Jesus said, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And he did. Tell us where our mission field is, Lord. Tell us where to go. Tell us where to cast our nets so that we can bring people to you out of the darkness of their sin and into your glorious light, and so that you might be glorified in everything that we do. All this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. And God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Petricktown. If you don't have a church family to call your own and you live in the area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. And right now during the COVID-19 crisis, we are meeting exclusively online through Facebook Live, and we'd be happy for you to join us wherever you are. Of course, if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family. Hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing. And I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.